Good morning, Nancy.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. Happy 5th of July.
What's going on out there?
What's that?
What's going on out there?
Just run, run, run.
Oh, yeah? I thought Shaw was going to be on. I wonder if she will.
Yeah, she said she was going to be, so she probably just got waylaid.
That's the only reason I decided to come today.
Listen to the call Friday.
How was your holiday?
Oh, it was good. We celebrated Saturday, celebrated Sunday, and now I get to go to work today.
So, are you working?
Yeah, the telecommunications companies don't shut down, so.
I know that. As my daughter was leaving last night, I asked her if she's working today. She said no. You know, she's a social worker. But no, I understand that. That's a bummer.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I actually celebrated my 4th of July day off last Monday and took our grandson that lives in Idaho Falls, 250 miles away, out to breakfast and then to a movie. And we watched Iron Man 3. There were just three of us in the theater.
Oh, my gosh. Private viewing.
It was. It was great. We can hoot and holler, and it was great.
How old is he?
15.
Uh-huh.
So.
It was interesting last night before the kids came. I was thinking, I can't believe how old and big my youngest my only grandson is. He's 10. And when he was hugging me goodbye, I said, you know, I was just thinking before you came, and I put my hand halfway up his back. I said, you used to be this big. I said, remember? He said, no. Amazing how quickly it goes.
Yeah, it just seems like yesterday he was being born, and now we've celebrated 15 birthdays. So
there you go.
Well,
you have to stop blinking.
Yep, it's sure exciting, though, to see him grow up. And
yeah.
And his mommy has done such a good job with him.
Oh, boy.
So.
Is it hot out there?
It was hot Saturday, but it was really cool yesterday. We hardly had to have the swamp cooler on at all yesterday, and didn't have to have any air conditioning last night, which was nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So
that's always good.
I hate
How far are you from the Arches?
Probably about 3 hours.
Our youngest son was there a week ago with his wife. They absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. I haven't been into the park. We've driven past it two dozen times probably, but never taken the time to go in there because we've never had an air conditioned vehicle until the last 5 years we've had one. But other than that, we haven't. Just haven't taken the time and got to get Carol.
Apparently, you really should.
Yeah, get Carol skinny enough so she can take a little hike and not get so sore and hurting. So, but we're working on that, and it's been interesting. She's the last little while we've had this discussion last Saturday. She was just hurting so bad. We sat there. We were in charge of a breakfast for like 250 people. And she was sitting there most of the time that we were cooking, beating eggs, you know, for scrambled eggs. You know, we had, I think five stoves going. And cooking pancakes and eggs and browning sausages. We actually browned the sausages before, you know, totally non-lifestyle meal. But it was, you know, they haven't caught up with us, and nor will they, I don't think. But it was just really interesting as she's sitting there afterwards, just so, you know, just sitting there doing eggs for, you know, an hour, you know, and her arm hurts so bad that it still hurts this morning, you know. And I'm sitting, well, you know, sweetheart, the last few months, all you've been doing is buying meat, and we've been eating it, and you're hurting. And really badly, and I'm hurting again, so it's time to start going plant-based again. She goes, I know. And it's interesting. She admitted that it was way more expensive to do what she was doing, and it was actually more work than what the plant-based was.
Really?
Yeah, but she just
that's interesting.
But she just wouldn't click into it, and so We've just got to sit down and figure out recipes and pick yours and Char's brains for recipes that are easy for her to do when she comes home from work.
Yeah.
It's just easier to figure out, okay, which meat am I going to have? You know, we got used to the block charts, you know, which meat, you know, which, you know, and then what are we going to put with it? And we just haven't gotten, I've got to develop a block chart for the vegetables so that we know what to the main vegetable is and then the block to build around them, and then she'll be fine. Or at least I'll be fine, because that's still driven me nuts. I got so used to that block chart, I still haven't gotten away from the thought process of it yet. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, well, but it worked for you for the other lifestyle.
Yeah, it did, and it worked really well. And
it might be helpful to, have you collected some of the recipes that are going around?
You know, I've they're still on the calls and on the, in my emails. I've got all 15,000 emails. So I think I'm up to 19,000 emails in one of my accounts. And
you're,
I've just got
higher than I am.
just got to sort through them, you know.
Right. It might be advantageous, just a thought, to try.
Has arrived.
To try some of the recipes and see which ones you like, and build your menus around that for a while.
Right. Yeah.
For last night, I knew that I had to have hamburgers for the kids because otherwise Marty said they won't come. So I don't have a problem with that, you know. Three times a year, I'll make hamburgers for the kids on the grill.
Yeah.
Although I don't do the cooking out there. But I made the pasta salad from the Shearer book, which I like. It's a summer pasta salad because I eat it cold, and it was very good. And whoever ate it, and there's enough left still for me to have for probably another couple of days, which is fine. I made guacamole, which I could eat. I had a huge salad, of course, which I could eat. There was fruit salad for me, so I was fine, and everybody else seemed okay.
Yep. Yeah, and that's what we
so
need to do.
So as long as there's a
house,
has arrived.
We had scones.
You know, as long as you can make stuff that you like and build your menus around that and expand it as you go.
Yeah, you know, it's like my oldest daughter was craving scones, and so she, you know, and her mom loves to cook those, so they cook scones and had chili around it, you know, and you could easily have, you know, vegetarian chilies and stuff. It could have been a great meal.
Oh, yeah, chili's easy. Yeah,
so,
I've always got that in the freezer. I also made the brownies, and it's the third time I think I made them, and each time they seem to come out a little bit differently, but these are really good, and they were moist on the inside, although my daughter-in-law said they're too chocolatey. too chocolatey?
Send me that recipe, will you?
Send you? Okay, sure.
Okay, because I haven't found it yet in my emails.
Although
I've been listening.
Somebody on the call last week said that, and the truth is, when you think brownies, you expect a, quote, your whatever you think brownies taste like. So I'm changing it to chocolate squares. They were really good.
Cool. All right, well, thank you. I've got to run, or I'm going to miss train that's on holiday
schedule. Well, thanks for coming on. Have a good day, and don't work too hard.
Hey, thanks. Great. Great time to talk with you. Bye now.
Bye, Steve. A couple other people came up.
Has arrived.
Anybody want to say hello?
Good morning.
Hi.
Char, your call and go for it.
No, I just got on. I went to use the phone, and this one I was late, and two, our son was on it, and it surprised me, so I waited until he got through. So.
And somebody else said hello. I don't know who it was.
That was Mel, I think.
Mel.
Yeah.
Mel, yes. Hi. I came in and you said you were going to send the recipe for the brownies. Did you send it before?
I have. You don't have it?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll send it to you. I was telling Steve, I don't know if you heard, Shara, that I made those again. And each time I make it, they taste a little differently. I don't know why.
Oh. Well, mine tasted a lot different last weekend. No, it was good because I changed the recipe. Emmy, 8 years old, my Chinese granddaughter was over here, and she says, "Grandma, how about peanut butter brownies?"
I was almost going to put cinnamon in, but go ahead.
No, the peanut butter was in the and I just...
added some, or did you take anything away?
Yeah, let me think for a second. I added 2 tablespoons of flour. What else did I do? It seems like, let me look at my notes here. I do make notes, because I did something else, too.
Mine were very moist, it's possible that I maybe should have left them in the oven a little bit longer, but they were good that way. The toothpick did come out one spot dry and the next spot a little bit moist, but not terribly, and I thought, well, yeah, that's okay.
All I did was add 2 tablespoons of pastry flour to the half cup, and then I put in, I've got one through. Okay, I put down 2 amounts, and I didn't cross out the one I didn't use, so I better do that. I put in 1/4 cup of peanut butter.
Crunchy?
Crunchy. Dropped it in little globs on top, and then took my knife and swirled it, you know, through the top of it, cut down through the thing, and then sprinkled it with peanuts, chopped peanuts on top.
Oh, no walnuts or something?
No walnuts. No. I wanted to stay consistent with the flavor. So it was, they were good. In fact, Danny, I was trying to take them up to our 4th of July celebration, which we ended up not going up to.
What kind of peanut butter did you use?
Pardon? What kind of what?
A peanut butter?
It was an organic crunchy peanut butter. I can't remember what brand. We picked it up, I think, at the, we picked it up at the Azure when we were up there. So it was, let me see what it says on it. I'm sure it's only a little bit of salt added. Yeah. A little bit of salt added, and that's it. Just peanuts and, let me see.
It sounds good.
Yeah, it was just plain. I like it. I don't have to have the salt, but I think it just gives it a little bit more flavor. And it's pretty, normally it's pretty low, and I don't use much peanut butter. I spread it and thin when I use it, so I don't figure I'm getting any amount of, never the amount, never 2 tablespoons like they're talking about.
Oh, I know. Me too. It's just talking about salt. Murray said to me while I was doing the dishes, he said, you know, Mom, I had an interesting lunch today. I said, oh, with whom? Nobody. Where were you? Home. What did you do? I opened a can of black beans, and I put in some olive oil and some vinegar and I said tomato or onion would have been good in that too. And he just made, that was his lunch. And I said to him, you rinsed the beans first, didn't you, Ma? No. I said, you used a can of beans? And I pulled, they were organic beans, by the way. So I pulled out a can. I said, is this what you were talking about? Well, yeah, but it was a different brand. I said, you didn't rinse them first? No. I said, what about all that gook that was in them? They said, well, I drained it. I said, and it was interesting because we had just talked at the table, and I didn't even get in the discussion. His friend came for dinner also, and his friend was saying how salt is, you know, he never uses salt at home. Da-da-da. And Murray's the one who argues with me that salt does not affect anything. You know, it doesn't affect your blood pressure or anything. So I said, you might want to consider rinsing them the next time, Murray. And then I thought, he's trying to just tell me he's doing something healthy, and I
has left the conference.
I have to get back to him on that one and, kind of know that away a little bit or something, but he thought it was okay not to rinse them. He probably doesn't even have a calendar to rinse them in anyway.
You know, it's...
And I finally did say sodium, and he said, I knew you were going there, Mom.
Yeah, and I've always rinsed them. Now, there's a huge difference, and I had some really cheap beans, really cheap black beans. I know, I can't remember where I got them, but I know that they were, because I'd bought, 3 or 4 cans of them. And I used those instead of making my own, which I normally do, but because it was a last-minute thing. Emmy was over here, and she wanted to cook with me, and it was like she was coming up with all these ideas, and we could only do, like, a tenth of them. But in the time that she had. But so anyway, we when I dumped him, there was nothing, there was no thickness to it at all. You know, there's usually a thick...
The brownie?
Oh, the beans.
Yeah.
How they're usually gunky, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
This was just straight water. There was nothing.
Really?
Yeah, there was nothing, no thickness on it. And I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. That saves, you know, it saves any amount. I still rinsed them, but you know how long it takes to rinse some of that stuff off sometimes.
What is all that stuff?
It's just what the beans are cooked in. If you let your beans set and you don't have very much water, they're probably cooking them, you know, under pressure, and they've got very little water with them, and so the thickness, the starch is what it is.
Okay.
Comes out of them. I'm sure it's the starch. And so anyway, but the brownies came out absolutely fantastic. Jenny was having people file through the kitchen yesterday, and I've got about a row and a half, a little less than a half a pan left. I was having everybody sample them, and he says, well, two of the guys that need to be, you know, restricted on food intake filed through here. I mean, not horribly, but they definitely need to lose. One has a wife that is diabetic, has cancer, and is seriously obese. Anyway, he said neither of them asked for the recipe. Well, guys don't necessarily ask for the recipe, first of all, but I said, well, you know what? They're used to a lot more sugar than was in that pan. And for somebody that's focusing on a brownie, when they bite into that and they don't have the aftertaste of sugar, you know, it's not sweet. They're just not sweet like they're used to. And I know that because I've...
That's why I think changing the name is a good idea.
But I always explain to them, but Jenny may not have. But the other day I did not explain to one of the people that tested them, and the comment was, well, they're good like that. They're good. But they definitely don't make you want to eat another one. And I said, that's what makes them good. That was my comment.
Right, you're not going to sit there and eat the whole tray.
Yeah, and she just looked at me and I said, no, that was my goal, was not to have to fulfill the craving.
Well, but that's satisfying.
For the sugar. Huh? Pardon me?
So that's satisfying.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, I always say, it's if you like chocolate and you want chocolate, it's not about how much sugar you can put with the chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, you know, that should be your goal in food, period. It doesn't have to be for, now if it's for herbs, I guess you could have a, like my craving for curry. I love the yellow Thai curry. Thai yellow curry, I guess is the way it goes. But anyway, I could eat that easy twice a week, and I don't get it done twice a week. I try and get it done at least once a week. But, and then, you know, sometimes the leftover filled in. But, anyway, they were good with peanut butter. That would be a redo.
That's a good thing to try. Yeah, I used to have a recipe like that, actually. It was very good. I lost it through the years, but it was similar. It was like a brownie recipe you added peanut butter to. It was really good. I'll say I'll have to try that one.
The other thing I have been wanting to try, and I did, because we've got a ton of ripe raspberries, and Denny was arguing with me that they weren't ripe enough, and so I pulled out my old fresh raspberry pie recipe. And it was called Nutritious Pie Crust. I sent it down years ago. Nutritious Pie Crust with a fresh fruit filling, and you could use any kind of fresh fruit. And yes, it does use Jell-O, but all I did was minimize the amount of berries that I had. So I had one package of Jell-O, and since these were firm, they were ripe, but they were firm. Which I prefer over them when they get soft and mushy. I did use a half a cup of sweetener. it was that, not sugar, but it is sugar as far as the blood's concerned. The evaporated cane. I wanted to keep it as close to the natural flavor of the berry, and the turbinado or the sucanat both have a little bit of flavor, I mean, more towards brown sugar, because they are more raw, or like a raw sugar. So anyway, that was the reason I used this other one. And the filling came out really good, but I used the brownie recipe to make the crust.
Ooh.
Adjusted, and I've got to write down what I did to it, because I took the brownie recipe and I cut down the, let's see, I know I had to add more of something to it here, I'll have to look at it. I cut down the amount of silken tofu. I cut that down to half a cup, I think, instead of 7/8. And then I added another half cup of, what I did was I took that nutritious pie crust recipe and did it with that and the brownie recipe combined, but, you know, adjusted it. So what I did was I put in, instead of a half a cup of pastry flour, I put in 1 cup of pastry flour, and instead of 7/8 of a cup of silken tofu, I put in 1/2 cup of silken tofu, which would be, a half cup should be 4 ounces. And then I put in 4 tablespoons, isn't it? Yeah. Two ounces would only be 2 ounces is 1/4 cup, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I did use 1/4 cup of, which is 2 tablespoons.
2 tablespoons?
Yeah, because there's 8 tablespoons.
I don't know.
In a cup. Yeah, 1/4. No, that's not right. A
tablespoon is an ounce?
Oh, man, let me look at my...
I don't go by tablespoons usually.
I do both because...
Well, the recipe says tablespoons, but I don't measure tablespoons and make... I don't compare them to a cup.
Well, if it's like 3 tablespoons, I do. I go halfway between the two.
I think there's 3 teaspoons in a tablespoon, that's as far as I know.
Yeah, I think it's... maybe it's 16 tablespoons in this thing. Now I just lost it. I went brain dead for a second. But anyway, I had too many measuring cups filled, so I'm looking for the jar that I used. I'm sure it said 2 ounces on it. So whatever 2 ounces is.
Of what?
I used 2 ounces of melted, because I had to melt it, of melted coconut oil. 2 ounces.
2 ounces is 1/4 cup.
2 ounces is 1/4 cup. Right. You're right. Okay, that's what I use. Okay, 1/4 cup.
That's interesting.
1/4 cup of baking oil, which is what my, I think that's what my pie crust originally called for. Yes, it was. The full amount of black beans, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and then I added 2 cups of oats.
What kind of oats?
Just regular rolled oats.
The quick ones?
Old fashions. I didn't use thick ones, I just used regular ones.
Okay.
Because I wanted to soak it up faster, and I didn't want them to be, I just wanted to soak up the ingredients faster was why. I still use the 3 tablespoons of chopped walnuts and the 6 tablespoons of chocolate chips in it. Everything else. Oh, and I left out the baking powder.
What?
No baking powder at all.
What about Perfect Start?
I didn't, huh?
Perfect Start?
Yeah, I did use the Perfect Start, yep. Everything else is the same. I don't even have that written down. I know I put it in. Oh, I do too have it written down. So that was the adjustment I made. Now, the...
You're using melted coconut oil and baking oil?
No, no, baking cocoa. Did I say baking oil?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the baking cocoa, the cocoa mix. I mean the...
So a quarter of a cup of cocoa.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, why have I got 2 to 4 tablespoons of melted? So I just need to put a fourth of a cup here. Okay, so then I had learned off of another recipe I'd done. I think I said this on the call already. When you press in it was when I was making that tart. You press in the crust. I did one. The most time was spent trying to figure out. I couldn't remember my math. See, I couldn't write this answer. Square inches in a round pie plate.
I have no clue.
Okay, well, I kept going back and forth with half the diameter, and I knew that couldn't possibly be times 3.14. And that didn't come out right. So finally I went and Googled it, and they had a simple kids' math illustration. I typed it in on that, and it figured it out for me. I was trying to arrive at doing half the recipe because I knew I would have enough crumbs, because originally it made two batches, to do two pie crusts. And I wanted to do one in a square 8-inch pan, which I thought would be close. And I wanted to know whether a 9 or a 10-inch pan would be closer pie plate. So, because the other thing I was going to do was one in glass and one in metal to see if there was going to be that much difference when I baked them. And so anyway, I did, I figured it out. It was a 10-inch pie plate and an 8-inch pan that came out. I think it's 8 inches. Oh, yeah, it was 8 inches, I know. Shoot, maybe it was 9. I think it was 9-inch square. I've got... Oh, where did I put it?
I think the pan I have that I make the brownies in is an 8-inch.
I have been using, at the B&B, I was using a 7x9.
Oh.
And I like that. It made them a little bit thinner, but they probably baked a little... I thought baked a little bit better, because I think I started with an 8-inch.
7x9 should be the same as 8x8.
Huh?
7x9 should be the same as 8x8.
Right. 9x9 is... Nine by nine is 84, and
7x9 should be the same as 8x8.
Well, 7 times 9 is 63.
Yeah.
8x8 is
84.
So you've got 64. Quite a difference. Yeah.
64.
Oh, 64. 9x9 is 64. 8x8 is 64.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm saying 9x9. Yeah. 8x9.
9x7.
Yeah. I'm looking at the 9x9 is
63.
60. 9x9 is 84. Huh?
81.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's too early.
I can't think this morning.
Yeah.
And the other one came out to 78, so it was 81 to 78. The circle pie plate came out to 78, which I'm not going to go through that formula again here.
So the recipe you just gave makes two pies?
Yes.
Okay.
Two 10-inch or a 10-inch and a 9x9 square, if you want to do it. I like cutting it in a 9x9 square to serve it.
Yeah.
It's the reason. Right. You don't get that point in it falling apart, but I'll warn you.
Yeah.
The crust is very firm. But when you put it in your mouth, it's crunchy and it is delicious.
Wow.
It's hard to cut, and it's hard to cut on your plate. So I've got to try something different.
And you don't bake it before you fill it, right?
Yes, you do. You make it for about 10. Yeah, because there's the filling in it. There's nothing cooked. It's cooked. It's all it is fresh raspberries with a glaze.
Okay, so you bake it at what temperature?
I bake it at 375 for about 10 minutes. Maybe even, I may have had it in there 12 because it looked, it was not done in 10 minutes. It was 12 minutes, 375.
Okay. Can I run through the recipe again?
Sure.
A cup of pastry flour, half a cup of silken tofu, quarter of a cup of melted coconut oil, quarter of a cup of baking cocoa, a can of black beans, rinsed in, 2 cups of oats, old-fashioned, 3 tablespoons of chopped walnuts, and 6 tablespoons of the chocolate chips.
I left out the vanilla. Thank
six
you.
6 tablespoons of chocolate chips and 3 tablespoons of perfect start. And vanilla, 2 tablespoons?
2 teaspoons.
2 teaspoons of vanilla and 3 tablespoons of perfect start.
3 scoops.
Oh, 3 scoops, I mean, okay.
Yeah. And when I put, I didn't finish the other spot too. When I pressed it into the pipe plate and the pan, I used a sheet of plastic wrap over it, and so it's not sticking to your hands. It works out wonderful. In fact, I remembered having a little European rolling pin, those ones that have 2 different ends on them, and they're a flat one's about maybe 4 inches long, the other one's maybe 5 inches, the other one's too long, it's about 8 inches or 7 inches long. There's like a little handle in between the two, and you hold on to the handle in the middle, and you roll either end.
Mm.
And it worked wonderful. One of them is bowed. It's laying right here. Oh, it's only about 3 inches, and anyway, if you ever see one, the little one is bowed, worked much better in the square pan and made it much, much faster to put together.
And you put it up the sides also, not just the bottom, right?
On the square pan, I did not put it up the sides.
Oh, okay.
I put it only in the bottom. One, and the other end of it's 2 1/4 inches long. And it's fairly, it's well made. It's not just, a wire that's holding it together. It's a chrome rod that's stuck through it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can work the dough down much easier than you can press it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you can press it. I mean, it just takes longer. So if you ever see one, they're a small tool that when you want to use it, you want to use it,
yeah.
That type of thing.
Possibly even a small glass.
Yeah, it's not gonna give you the same speed.
No, I've never seen what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is a handle you hold on to in the middle, and you can use either handle and then the end of it. You kind of wrap, you just put it in the palm of your hand.
Sounds convenient.
And roll it. So anyway, I've seen them used several times on cooking shows, especially the Europeans. That's their form of rolling pin instead of the big honking ones that we use. But, anyway, the flavor was really good. Of course, the only 3 of us tried it. It was Denny and Charlotte, the guy that's living with us, and myself, and we go, oh, this is good. But the raspberries were wonderful.
You put it together the same way you put the brownie recipe together, right?
Yeah, all in the food processor. I didn't put the last,
has left the conference.
I did not put the nuts, and I did not put the, chocolate chips in the food processor.
Oh, really?
So I didn't want them cut up. I wanted you to be able to bite into the chocolate chip and, taste the nut or the piece of chocolate chip.
Okay. I'll type this up and send it down.
Thanks. You might put subject to modification. And make a note that just says the crust is really firm to cut on your plate. I mean, you can cut it in the pan, because I fooled with cutting it in the pan. But it doesn't taste too firm when you're biting into it because you've got that texture, the contrast between the... I mean, all 3 of us agreed that we liked it that way, but it was difficult to cut on a plate.
So the thing, when you put whatever you're putting into it, it doesn't soften it up at all?
What it is, it's not crumbly enough, mm-hmm. and it fell together too well. And I think by taking the tofu out, there will be less moisture. You want it to stay together, but yet you want it a crumblier, flakier texture.
It's almost like a cookie, it sounds like.
It's like a really firm cookie. Yeah. You know, not a soft cookie, a crunchy
right.
cookie. And so, like I said, I liked it, but mm. it would be embarrassing for people to cut through on the plate is the problem.
Mm.
Because it'd be, you know, you couldn't hold it on your lap, and that's what we were trying to do.
Oh.
And you would look like you were, you know, using the tines of the fork to wedge it apart.
So actually, we could almost make a cookie out of this.
You could. You definitely could.
Wow. That would be interesting to try, too.
Yeah. You could definitely do that. But it's the moisture drying it out that sticks it together to begin with. It's drying it out. And you've got all those beans in there
mm-hmm.
that have moisture in them, which was never in the pie crust. It was just oats, a little bit of flour, and a little bit of coconut oil. I mean, that's all that was in the crust. So when I thought about the combination, I knew it was going to come out different.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you want to hold off on that.
All right. But interestingly, I mean, when you're putting, even if you're making a blueberry pie, which is moist, you would think that that would soak in it a little bit and soften it.
But you're not making a typical pie because by the time the filling goes in there, it's already almost set up
yeah.
with the Jell-O because you're using extra, you're using the Jell-O and you're using extra cornstarch in there.
The blueberry pie recipe I have does not use Jell-O.
And it's a fresh one, it's not cooked?
You boil it. You boil the blueberries.
What holds the blueberries together?
Cornstarch and sugar, I think.
Oh, okay.
I haven't made it in years. It's my grandmother's recipe. It's wonderful, but I would have to find something to do about the sugar.
Yeah. Well, this all you do is you stir in half a cup. In a saucepan, you cook a half a cup of sugar with a cup and a half of water and 2 tablespoons of cornstarch.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what I do is I mix the cornstarch and the sugar in the bottom of the pan and then pour in the cold water and then bring it to a boil. And once it's boiled and turned clear, the cornstarch, water, and sugar, then you throw in a package of Jell-O. And the Jell-O, I would have 8 cups of fruit in that pie. I would have 6 cups of fruit in that pie, either one of them. I had 5 cups, and in an 8x8, in a 9x9 pan, the 6 cups would be right to the top. Oh, and then I put the whipped topping on it. You've got that recipe already. Is there anybody else on the call besides the two of us?
I think there are.
Oh, it's me now.
No, you're still with us. Oh my gosh, I'm saying this is boring talk, just talking recipes, but I guess
I just
I love it.
I just want to tell you my grandmother's recipe for the blueberry pie. Two pints of blueberries, 1 1/4 cups of sugar. Interestingly, I must have tried this with Sweet and Low because I said 18 Sweet and Low tests years ago. 3 tablespoons of cornstarch.
Okay, how much sugar?
1 1/4. 2 pints of blueberries.
Okay.
And 3 tablespoons of cornstarch and lemon juice. And you cook it until thick and then put it in a big shell.
Okay, so the extra sugar.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Come here. I just want to make sure that. Okay.
That's very good.
The extra sugar you're putting in is going to be more than what I put in with the Jell-O.
Yeah, but I would have to figure out how to do something with instead of sugar.
That's what I said. That's why I use the Jell-O, because it takes less. But what it's doing also, I match the flavor of the Jell-O with the berries normally.
You're using Jell-O rather than the Knox, right?
Right. Because I do want the extra flavor in the glaze.
And you're using not the diet Jell-O, the real thing.
I do not use the diet, no. I'd rather have a little sugar, and that's why I load it so heavy. See, she's got 2 pints. That's four cups of fruit. I had 5. I would go 6 cups of fruit. I want the glaze really thin. I don't want a lot of thickness on it. I want it just to be held together. I want to pack as much fresh fruit in this pie as I possibly can. That's my goal.
Sure.
So, and as little sugar as I can get by with. And it's still sweet. It's plenty sweet. And with that chocolate crust, you definitely don't need any more.
Yeah.
And the 3 tablespoons of cornstarch, that's about the same ratio I'm using. It would probably be just a little bit sweeter with that amount, because 3 ounces in the Jell-O is not going to be, it's not even a half a cup, huh? So I would have just a little bit less sugar and more berries.
So with my grandmother's, what could I do instead of a quarter of a cup of sugar?
Well, a cup and a fourth of sugar, as you said.
One and a quarter, yeah, what could I do instead of that?
I'd just do what I was doing. I'd use a package of Jell-O and a half a cup of sugar of whatever you want. Or, you know what you can do? You don't have to use that much sugar. Use part stevia. I was using part stevia before. I just don't know the amount. It doesn't matter because you're going to cook it.
With the sugar?
With the sugar, but cut the sugar amount down and use part stevia.
Okay.
And you got strong enough flavors there, it's going to camouflage that anyway if you use part sugar. I would cut the sugar in half and then bring the sweetness up with either the liquid or the powder until you get the sweetness that you can,
and
you can handle. And you can taste it, so you can taste it in the glaze.
Right. Okay.
And you want it sweet because it's going to be spread over a lot of berries.
Yeah.
So, you know, stick a little bit sweeter than what your taste buds would say and go with that, and I think you'll have something everybody will rave about. Because those fresh pies I made would, hands down, do better than any baked pie ever with a double crust. I mean, the kids and everybody loved them.
I'm not a pie lover, so this was a nice summer treat for us.
Yeah, I got off the double crusted pies or even single crusted pies years ago,
mm-hmm.
and rarely ever made one. I mean, once in a while, Denny would say, "Make an old fashioned, you know, double crusted apple pie," and I go, "Oh, you know, the pie dough just didn't set it." But let me, for Mal here. Mal, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Let me read you the whipped topping because you are going to love this. Nancy and I both had it at Parkview Adventist Medical Center was where the recipe came from, and I'm reading it out of a cookbook that has one slight misprint, not on the ingredients, but the way that it's put together, which doesn't matter. But anyway, they handed it out also. You start with 1 cup of water and 1 rounded tablespoon of agar, is that the way you pronounce it? The sea flakes. 1 tablespoon rounded if it's the flakes, and 2 teaspoons rounded if it's the powder, and I tend to use the powder. So I heat them up.
Agar,
yeah.
That's 1 rounded...
tablespoon if it's flakes.
Spoon of agar flakes, okay.
Or 2 rounded teaspoons of agar powder. Yeah, you use less of the powder. And you combine that with one cup of water, didn't I? Combine that and bring it to a boil and then simmer it for about 2 minutes in a small pan. And then you throw that in the blender along with 1/2 cup of rinsed raw cashews. Raw cashews. Make sure you rinse them. They need to be rinsed. Right. Anytime you use raw cashews. And then 1/3 cup of honey or 1/2 cup of sugar. Again, I didn't want the flavor of honey, so I did use the same blah evaporated organic cane sugar. So it's dry.
Apple sugar.
Yeah, a half cup. And a half a teaspoon of salt. 1 teaspoon of vanilla. A half a teaspoon of coconut extract. And a fourth of a teaspoon of xanthan gum, which they say is optional. I always use it. It gives it a better texture and makes it a little bit thicker. And especially if you're using that, you can use this to ice a cake. It is that.
What's the name of the gum?
Xanthan. X-A-N, X like X-ray, A-N-T-H-A-N, and like Nancy twice in there. Xanthan. You could probably also use gargum, but gargum I never cook. You don't need to cook it, so when it has to be cooked, I use the xanthan. That was the two things. That's what I learned about those two ingredients.
Where do you buy this?
Health food store is where you can get it. I've never seen it in the Asian market. If you look at dressings, both xanthan and gargum are almost always listed in dressing recipes as thickeners, is what they use them for, and they're natural. It's just the gargum is just a bean, and I can't remember exactly how the xanthan is derived, but it's neither one of them are negative. Okay, so you throw that all in the blender, and you blend it and until it's completely smooth, and it should total 3 1/2 cups. So scrape down the side of your blender and make sure it's 3 1/2 cups. If not, you add water to bring it up to 3 1/2 cups. Once I did not do that, and it was really stiff. And you let it set for several hours in the refrigerator. I suggest just leaving it in the blender and letting it set in the blender until it thickens. You can speed it up. Like last night, I was in a hurry, so I spread it out in a shallow pan, put it in the freezer, watched it carefully. I didn't want it frozen. Froze about a quarter of an inch in on the edges, and that's okay. And then pull it out, and I set the blender in the empty blender, which only had a bunch of it stuck to the sides, in the refrigerator also, and then bring it out and run it again. Put it all back in the blender and run it again, so you save washing the utensils.
So when you're letting it sit for a few hours in the blender, do you do it refrigerated?
Yeah, I did. I put the whole thing, I put the shallow dish in the freezer and the blender in the refrigerator when I was trying to speed it up. And you pull it out, you run it, and it is absolutely hands down better than whipping cream. That's what Charlotte told me last night. She goes, this is better than whipping cream by far.
What do you do with the leftover, Sean?
Pardon?
What do you do with the leftover? Just
oh, you have about, yeah, you have about 3 1/2 cups, and you can, it'll keep several days in the refrigerator, or you can put it in mounds, and like you would put on the top of a shortcake or a, you know, like we did, I put a dollop on the top of the serving of fresh berry pie, and you can freeze it that way, or you can just freeze it in a jar, but it's much easier to work with when you just put it out on a sheet of wax paper on a cookie sheet, and you've got it all made, and you throw it in a plastic bag when it freezes, and you just pull them out and set them on top of your dessert. Wonderful. You haven't made that one yet, Nancy.
No, I haven't. Where did you get agar-agar?
The Asian store. Do not go to the health food store. You will pay $6.50 for what costed double the amount in a little bag at the Asian store for
$1.19. Okay.
And it's in little packages, and if you can't find it, ask them. Sometimes they even have it by the counter or behind the counter just because it's such a little package.
Okay.
They come in powder form?
Yes, it's in powder form. I always get it in powder form. I've not seen the flakes in the Asian store. I saw the flakes in the health food store. The brand is Eden in the health food store. It does not say organic. I think they're farming it from the same place the Asians are farming it from. It's just a, it's a sea gelatin is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's much firmer. I got it coated on the tines of my Teflon whip because I was doing it in our cookware. And you do want to stir it while it's simmering. You do need to stir it for the 2 minutes that it's simmering. But it bring it to a boil, simmer for 2 minutes. Have you used, you've used it before, right?
No, no, I've used the bar. I know, I don't, I didn't know that they had the powder form. You know, the
you
bar.
Use an agar bar? Or agar bar?
They have a bar for, it's like gelatin.
Yeah, but.
They have the bar.
I've never seen it in the bar, but I've never seen gelatin in a bar either.
That looks like transparent, it's white, and it looks it's sort of like transparent, and it's in a bar, like a ruler, you know.
Oh, and so you just break off the amount you need, huh?
Well, yeah, to make the gelatin, but I mean,
right, but I meant you'd have to measure. How do you measure how much you need?
I don't know.
You just guess at it.
Yeah, I haven't done it for a long time, but the powder form, I would love the powder form.
Yeah, I like the powder form, too. So, and I've used it in a lot of things that I've done, so I've always got it handy. And
so once you make the whipped topping, you can store it in the freezer?
Yes, you can store it in the freezer, but I would not want to try and scoop it out frozen. That's why I would put it in the little dollops on the little mounds on wax paper or, just on wax paper or parchment paper, whatever you're using, and then peel them off and put them in a baggie, Ziploc bag.
Oh, okay.
I'm into convenience and speed. Once you do it, let's have it all done.
Yeah. Can I just repeat the recipe?
Sure.
1 cup water, 1 rounded tablespoon of agar-agar if it's flakes, and it's 2 rounded tablespoons.
Teaspoons. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's powder.
Right.
And then combine and then bring to a boil and then simmer for 2 minutes. And then...
add stir while you're cooking that.
Put stir while cooking.
While cooking. Okay.
It says stir continuously.
Uh-huh. And then throw in the blender and then put 1/2 cup raw cashews rinsed. And then 1/2 cup honey or...
No, 1/3 cup of honey or 1/2 cup of sugar is what they've got because the honey is so much sweeter.
How much honey?
1/3 cup.
1/3. Okay.
You could do 1/2 and 1/2. It wouldn't affect the taste as much either.
Right, that's true.
Okay, sugar. What kind of sugar? White sugar?
I use, it's like white sugar, but it's a natural. It's the, where they evaporate the cane juice. So it's a little off color. It's not as quite as white, but it doesn't show up.
How much stevia would I use if I use stevia?
If you use stevia, I don't know, and I don't know how that's going to alter the way it thickens. I'm not sure. You could cut back on it. I wouldn't use all stevia. I would use maybe part stevia. You're going to have to experiment with that.
Yeah, I'd probably be safe with a 1/3 cup of compost.
Okay. So, anyway, see what you come up with on that one.
Right. And then 1/2 teaspoon salt. 1 teaspoon vanilla, 1/2 teaspoon cocoa extra.
Coconut.
Coconut extra, yeah.
Yeah, not cocoa.
1/4. Okay. Oh, okay.
You don't want it chocolate.
yeah, okay. 1/4 teaspoon...
xanthan gum.
Xanthan gum.
Right.
Okay, and then blend...
Wait, I forgot something important. 1 can of coconut milk.
Oh, okay.
That's what does it. 1 can of coconut milk. It says, or 2 cups of soy milk. I've never made it with soy milk. I don't think I would make it with soy milk. The flavor is too wonderful with the coconut milk. Yeah, thank you for... Hey, Coco. Hopefully nobody got the recipe the first time I did it without the coconut milk.
And then blend, put it in the blender to get the first one with the water. And then blend to smooth. And if it's not smooth, you add.
If it doesn't come up to, it needs to come up to 3.5 cups measure. Your blenders normally have the measurement on the side. So when you get through blending it, it should be 3.5 cups minimum.
Water.
Yeah. So add just water if you need that. And then refrigerate either several hours or overnight, or if you're going to cheat and do it, faster.
Okay.
And then rerun again.
Okay.
Before you serve it, because you can't. It will look like a stiff. It'll look like a stiff Jello when you let it set either overnight or several hours. Very stiff, like you could slice it.
Okay.
And you don't want it that way, so that's why you have to run it again. Oh, this says it makes 6 cups. Good grief. How could it make 6 cups when it comes up to 3.5 on the thing? Mine didn't make 6 cups.
Possibly when you whip it again, you're adding more air into it.
Yeah, well, mine still didn't come up to 6 cups because I had it in the quart blender, so. And it fit into a quart jar. I don't know how they got that. Maybe without the... without the extra xanthan gum, it comes up a little lighter because it says it's not as stiff, and that's an optional one. So,
Okay, all right.
Anyway, it was good, and I've done that several times, and it's it'll suffice for anybody as a topping on a.
Yeah, what you could do with it. My grandmother used to make a wonderful whipped cream chocolate roll. You could add some cocoa to this and make chocolate whipped cream.
You certainly could. Wow. That would be good. I'm looking at the recipe.